We're going to be in Luke this time, and we were in John last week. Wasn't so much a commission given in John, but basically we kind of set up a timeline a little bit where we saw that just in the book of John alone, there was three occurrences that Jesus appeared unto the disciples, potentially once or twice there in Jerusalem, and at least once back in Galilee at the Sea of Tiberias. But kind of broken this down. Again, there is a commission as such given in Luke. I think you're going to notice some particular things about it that really aren't much different than what they had been doing from the time John the Baptist showed up on the scene. But we'll get started in that, and I'm going to go ahead and start reading. Now upon the, and we're in chapter 24, by the way. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Okay, there are some slight differences in this version than what was recorded in John. John said what? It was just Mary. Mm-hmm. Didn't say anything about they. It just said Mary. John may have just wanted to particularly bring out Mary Magdalene's name and not so much mention anyone else, but nonetheless, we see that there is a they. And these are women that had been in Galilee, and they had prepared spices, and they were coming to the sepulchre very early in the morning. Slight difference. John, it was said it was still dark, but nonetheless, they had come. But the stone is rolled away. Now this is where I think there was an occurrence in John that isn't spoken of here, because what's happened? In verse 2 they say, they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and in verse 3 they entered in. What did they do in John? What did Mary do with John? She turned around and back. She went back to make a report that the stone had been rolled away. And she's going to tell Peter and John. Okay? In this one it says they just walked right in. Okay, so we'll read on. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed about, behold, two men stood by them in shining white garments. Again, is there a difference here?
Angels at one end.
One end of the other, and what were they doing? And John, what were they doing? They're doing what you guys are doing. They were sitting. One at the head, and one at the foot. Mm-hmm. These two are standing. Now, I can't go to every detail, because my emphasis is to show you the commissions, not so much all the little stuff that's going on in between. But there are differences, and hopefully you will write these down, and you'll go and you'll look at them and figure out why there's this difference. Okay? But we see that in Luke's version, they go right in. So obviously, I believe that in Luke, verses 1 and 2 is one encounter where they came and they saw that the stone was rolled away and boom, it ended. Okay? And verse 3, to me, is the beginning of another visit where they come back and enter in. Okay? Something for you can look at. Okay? Let's start up. And it came to pass, shows a little bit of a lapse of time. And I'm not talking about great amounts of time always, but just a little bit of lapse of time. In verse 5, and as they were afraid and bowed down their face to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified the third day, and rise again. And in verse 8, and they remembered these words. Okay, the report that these angels were telling the ladies, you'll find it in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. That's when Jesus was telling them, now I'm going to be delivered up. This is what they're thinking that they're going to do to me. So they were rehearsing these things to the ladies, and the ladies remembered it. Again, a little bit of a time lapse. In verse 9, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now this is something that I have struggled with, and I still yet struggle with it. if they return to the 11, is that a generic term of the apostles, or are they specifically saying that the 11 were together? Because in John, who wasn't present? Thomas wasn't there. When Jesus appeared the first time in John and showed him the holes in his hands and his side, Thomas wasn't there. He said, I won't believe it until I put my finger in it. But here it says the 11. So I wonder if sometimes when they use the term the 11, it's talking about the apostles in general. Okay?
In verse 10, it mentions it again, but it mentions it is unto the apostles.
Mm-hmm. So once, and that's what, that's another thing I was coming to. In verse 10, it gives the names. So it's all right. In verse 10, it gives the names of the women who went to the sepulcher. And their report was to the apostles.
Did they not meet every day at that time? Just curious. I don't know.
I'm not thinking so, because at this point, you know, when Christ was crucified, everybody took off.
Yeah, they followed
him. They all started going to their own places. And when Peter had denied him three times and the cock crowed, he really got distraught. And he took off. So I'm not so sure that they were all there together.
It mentions Peter followed at a distance after the garden.
Yeah. So I'm kind of thinking they were scattered. And then when he was crucified,
maybe that brought them all back together.
I don't know if it brought them together or if you get John, I go fishing. Peter was distraught. I mean, he wasn't out there doing a commission. He was out there back to what he had done before he met Christ, fishing. And some of the others, hey, we're going with you. Okay? So in verse 11, like this word, this part, we'll all go ahead and read verse 10. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Okay? Now these are the they that we read in verse 1. And in verse 11, and their words, this is the words of the women, seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Okay? They believed not their report that Jesus was gone, the tomb was empty. Okay? Now we notice verse 12. It says, then. Again, it shows an element of time that has passed. I don't think a great deal of time has passed, though. I still think we're within the first day. Okay? But now we know Peter goes. Peter went to John when Mary had come and made a report that the stone was rolled away and that the Lord's body was gone. Before angels. Correct?
I'm just trying to understand this and make sure I'm on the same page. We know at the beginning you're sharing that, of course, those men were standing there. Evidently, this is the first encounter because Peter and them had not been there yet if she's telling them here.
And
is that where you were going?
In John, if I remember right, when Peter went the first time, the ladies hadn't seen the angels. The angels hadn't appeared. That's why I say verse 1 and 2 is one encounter that the ladies had at the tomb. Okay? And verse 3 starts another one. Okay? And now Peter's getting the report that the ladies have seen angels. So now he's going back. Peter's initial visit was before angels. And he's lost. I just don't know what's going on. Okay, so he goes back home. That's what John says. Went back to his house. Now potentially the ladies come back again and say, "Hey, we just saw some angels there," and this is what they said. Peter becomes interested again. He goes back to the tomb to see what they're talking about, and this is when we read what Peter finds. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering himself which days had come to pass.
He didn't see any again. Of course, he saw the clothes, but he didn't see the angels
that had been reported. Okay? So now, that's the end of... Have you ever seen Star Trek and they're playing chess and it's like 3 or 4 levels deep? It's that game. You know, I don't know if it's chess. I can't think that deep. I can't play chess on one level, let alone 3 or 4. Okay? I'm lucky if I play checkers. But really, to try to put this stuff together can be mind-boggling. And there's varying opinions on it. And again, my intentions are not to give you a definite timeline as to what things are happening in order. Mine is to show you when a commission was given and when it's supposed to be carried out. Okay?
So we know, I'm just trying to get this thing in my head. So, and it makes sense. The women went. Peter and John ran, didn't go in. The women went back, and this time went in, and the two men were standing beside them.
Okay.
They went and told, Peter rises up, and he goes again. So
at least Peter. I mean,
yeah.
John said, or Luke says Peter. It could have been more, but we know
that
Peter went. Peter didn't see anything the first time, so he goes back home. But then the women come back to him again
and tell him what they saw.
And now Peter says, well, there's angels. I didn't go back and talk to them. And he goes back there. Well, there's nobody there then.
Okay.
So he's confused, and he takes off again. Okay. Now we have a lapse of time. Again, not a very large lapse of time. In verse 13, and behold, two of them. Who's them? Look at verse 9. Told the 11 and all the rest. All the rest, well, that doesn't mean everybody heard it. All the rest that were with them at that time, okay? And these two that we're talking about were part of that rest that heard the report of the women. Because what did they do? Behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus. And everybody's heard about this. I mean, I don't know how many have received phone calls wanting you to write a letter to somebody who's going on this Emmaus walk. You know, this great spiritual time that people are going off of. You know, I've written letters. So, same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 furlongs, just a few miles, wasn't too far. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they were communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk? And are you sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these last days? And he said unto him, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet. Now this is some of the group that's been following him. Not the apostles, but potentially the disciples. And what do they call Jesus?
Prophet.
He's a prophet. Well, wasn't he a prophet?
Absolutely.
Absolutely a prophet. But my goodness, he should have been a little more than that. You know? Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we have trusted that that I don't want to put too much emphasis on this the way I read it, but I'm going to read it the way I understand it that's happened. To me, he is throwing out a question. It's not asking a question, but he's making a statement that doesn't sound like he has proof of it anymore. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Does it sound like he's confident of that anymore?
No.
It sounds like there's some doubt. Okay, so to me this statement is coming with doubt behind it now. And besides all this, Today is the third day since these things were done. So he understands that Jesus said he would come up the third day. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished when we were early, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said he was alive. Okay? I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here. Does anybody have any questions about what we've read so far on that? Does anything stand out?
I'm thinking that when we consider who wrote the words that we're reading, was he not given this commission by his patriarch to go out and get all this information about Jesus he could get? He was not a personal participant in any of these events.
The way Luke writes it, yeah.
He's probably, I mean, he's doing research.
He's doing research.
He did. From interviews and talking to people that were actually there. And, you know, when you get all these different stories, like you said before, when it goes around the room, then he's going to have to sit down and distill this and come up with one report that makes the most sense.
Correct.
Out of all the... He's probably had some stuff way out in left field that he had to just completely discount.
It's kind of like the part that John wrote. If I had put down everything, the world couldn't hold all these books that would be in there. So obviously, Luke is picking out some highlights that obviously God impressed upon him by inspiration to write down.
Yeah, I mean, everything that was penned was God breathed. It wasn't.
Exactly.
They were being obedient.
It's all for a reason.
What they were right.
And he's probably got a stack of stuff that he has, and he's depending on the Spirit to say, okay, put this down, and.
I even think he could tell him things that he didn't even know. You know, the one thing that him saying that I'm reminded of is we got to realize when we read this, this is something that was read and knew about from Jewish roots, that they knew more about the story than we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can read this and see this timeline without a problem because they knew what happened in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They could say, oh yeah, I remember that, and I remember that. That's one thing that's great about the historian. Who was it, Dad, that you had, the big, thick book?
Josephus.
You read Josephus' encounters as a Roman, and these encounters, and they fit perfect. It's amazing, the history timeline.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you got to remember is, whether Luke knew it or not, God told him to write it.
Yep.
And he wrote it. One thing that I'm noticing is these guys are saying things that it just shows us again they had no clue about. And Christ even told them what was going to happen. I mean, the third day. He said, now the third day. That should have triggered. You would think that would have triggered something.
As we go into Mark and Matthew, they were given some instructions about where they were supposed to be, and they weren't there.
Yeah.
Okay, and we'll see that. When we get to Mark and Matthew. And in verse 25, now Jesus comes back to them. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scripture, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. He was acting like he was just going down the road. He wasn't going to turn off and go to the town. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, This is where the Baptists get this. Every time they have a little meeting, they're always eating. every time Jesus has an encounter with somebody, they're eating. They used to have fish, we have fried chicken. And it came to pass, they sat at meat with them. He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them. Man. Read how often that happens. And when that happens, how things in their mind change, and how their what they see changes, and what they believe changes. Because what happens? And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Okay? This was for a witness. This is for a testimony that, in my opinion, that Jesus showed up to these two guys. Okay? He is showing up at different places, at different times, many times, throughout these 40 days he's on the earth, for a witness to these people, for these things to be written for our benefit. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while we talked with it? Why he talked with us by the way, and why he opened to us the scriptures?" And okay, now listen, this gets important right here. I'm just totally not even using my notes. I don't even know why I write them down. I mean, I've probably got stuff written in here that I should be telling you, but whatever. And they rose up the same hour. They rose up when?
Same
the same hour. What day is it?
Thursday.
It's the same day of his resurrection. Okay? And they went to this Emmaus. It's the third, and this is the third day. They just got done saying it. This is the third day in which he was supposed to have resurrected. They're walking along. Jesus joins with them. They go into town. They sit down. They break bread. And they realize who he is. And Jesus is caught up out of their sight. In the same hour, they do what? Returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So the very day of the resurrection, these two who went to Emmaus are back with the 12, but with the 11. Now, I'm not going to say all of them are there. You can decide whether the 11 means a generic of the apostles or it's actually all 11.
One thing interesting, Mark, in verse 32, where it says, "And while he opened to us the scriptures," one thing that Christ did is to bring their understanding. He didn't remind them of what he said. He showed them prophecy, things that had been written before in Old Testament scriptures, because it was not scripture yet in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So he showed them.
He didn't go back like
153. He showed them the Word, what he had to do.
Yeah.
They had understanding, not by what he said, but took them to what the scripture said.
Exactly. So what these guys said, they rose up and returned to Jerusalem to the 11 to the rest, saying, "The Lord," just a minute ago, he's just a prophet. And there's nothing wrong with being a prophet, because he was. But now it's, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. And here comes this phrase that he used three times in John. And said to them, "Peace be unto you." Okay? So Jesus appears to them the very night of his resurrection. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Okay? Because remember in John, what was the doors were locked, right? For fear of the Jews. So he also, he just shows up inside the house in which nobody should be able to get in.
No, I hate to interrupt. One thing here that just hit me, I've never seen before until just now. This could have been a miracle here because of the fact we always see the scriptures that we're always moved by in your other organizations where two or three are gathered together in my name. He shall be there among us, whatever. Mm-hmm. Right here, the condition was met. And so that's what he did. Because it says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst."
Mm-hmm.
And we can't do that. We can't sit here and talk about him and him show up in an appearance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
That's right.
That's kind of cool.
Well, it's good. Because that goes right back to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 or 17. Well, we don't know him. We've known him in the flesh. Know him no more.
But today, all over America, they're saying where two or three are gathered together in his name, they're in their midst.
Yep. In verse 38, he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet." Now, John never said anything about his feet. John set his hands aside. For a spirit hath no flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoke, he showed his hands and his feet. Now read this. And I don't care for what reason it is. Okay? And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder. They stood in believing. He's standing there. Now, I know that we've seen some pretty crazy things happen, even right in front of our eyes. You've been on a vacation or you're at work and something has happened. There's no way that could have happened. And you saw it. My mind played tricks on me or something. You've been to a magician show and he shoves a cigarette through a quarter. Well, there's no way he could have done that. How did he do that? I'll tell you later. your mind, you just don't believe it. Okay? They're sitting here and they see Jesus. He's in the midst of them. Now, whether they physically know him, or obviously these two by the breaking of bread know him, he shows them the holes, and they believe not yet. He said to them, "Have ye any meat?" Say it again. It's got to be where everybody gets this. We always got to have food. That's right. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them.
No, and another thing, feed them and they will listen.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why the Baptist
today. Yeah. Yeah.
There's also a time here where they touched him. He says, "Handle me." He told them not to touch him in Matthew. So it had to be another encounter where they had gone back and forth more than once.
Yes, he showed him his hands and his feet, and he said, "I got flesh and bones. This is not a ghost. This is not a spirit."
But in John, did he tell him not to touch him?
In John, initially, he told
Mary
and Magdalene, "Don't touch me. I have not yet ascended."
He ascended between that day there.
And then he told Thomas to.
You wait till we get to Matthew and Mark. There's another encounter. We'll just wait till we get there. Okay. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me." Okay? Obviously Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, like Paul said, hadn't been written yet. But Isaiah 53 had. And about the lamb before the slaughter. And they began to see and understand the things that he'd been teaching them and gaining knowledge in that. Okay? In verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Now I know what Isaiah 53 is talking about. Now I know what maybe they're talking about, how and where David says, "My flesh shall not see corruption." Okay? "Shall not leave thy holy one." Okay? Now we're beginning to understand that stuff. And in verse 46, "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again, arise from the dead the third day." Here's the commission. "And that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Somebody turn to Mark 1 and read verse 4. Somebody else turn to Luke 3 and read verse 3.
Mark 1.
Go ahead.
Verse
4.
"John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins."
Baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Is this not the same commission that they're having right here? Somebody read Luke 3:3.
I've got that too.
Go ahead, Emma.
Luke 3:3. "And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins."
Repentance and remission of sins. Was that not what was being preached since John the Baptist showed up on the scene? Did that commission change any? It was Jerusalem first. Go not into Samaria or to the Gentiles, but in Jerusalem first. And we're not talking about one or two people. The nation Israel as a whole. Jerusalem had to be converted. Then the next step, They had to be nationally, had to be converted. And then the next step. Okay? So nothing has changed. He was trying to get them back to work. Listen, just because I died 3 days ago, we're still out there supposed to be doing this stuff. So get busy. They were supposed to be fulfilling that commission right then and there, as they had just a few days before. Okay? Now, and ye are witnesses of these things. Witnesses of what things? Well, they've been with him for 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. You told them what he's going to do. It happened. He rose again. And they see it. They're witnesses of it. Okay? They know it's true. Well, they have it for 3 days. They should know it's true. Okay? Now, this is where there is a jump. We think that we can read the story right through. And that it's just one thing after another. And I don't think so. Okay, I'm going to read something. And we'll just see. And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power on high. Now wait a minute. Didn't he meet him in Galilee? And they went fishing to see a Tiberius? Why would they go there? He just told them to go to Jerusalem and stay there. Why would they turn around and go to Galilee and go fishing and he meet them there? I'm going to read the rest of this. I'll read it again. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye, so that means what? They're there in Jerusalem. In the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Now wait a minute. Where did they go to the Sea of Galilee? He told them to go back to Jerusalem, to stay there until they were endued with power. And it says they did. They stayed there and they blessed and worshipped. What is it? When I read that, does that sound familiar? Where else do you read that? Where else do you read that? I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power on high. And he led them as far as Bethany, and he was taken up out of their sight. Acts chapter 1. Mm-hmm. Okay? After he gives them this commission that they're supposed to get back out there and do what they were already doing, you don't hear anything else from Luke about any of the rest of the 40 days until Acts chapter 1 when he's taken up from them.
That's right.
That was the only thing that he wanted them to know at that time. Get back to doing what you were doing before I was crucified. That's your job. And for right now, that's all you're supposed to know. And that's all you're supposed to do. Because I'll tell you, when Acts gets here, it changes. The commission changes. Not so much repentance and remission, but the aspects of it are going to change. And if we read it, you read that, it just, you know, it looks like he gave his commission meeting. And he's right there still with them, and nothing else has happened. And he's taken up out of their sight. I have no doubt that Jesus went back and forth to heaven several times during that 40 days. Okay? I have no doubt that he appeared to any number of them many times at different occasions. Because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are very clear about that. I have no doubt that there are those who believed it right off the bat, and probably some that didn't believe it for a long time. I mean, we saw in John that Peter took some of them and went back fishing. We see here that they believed not when he's standing right there in front of them. And so there's no doubt there are some changes that took place. But if you went to Acts chapter 1 and read verse 4 through 2, well, shoot, we got time, I think, haven't we? Yeah. I'll just go ahead and go there.
You could have really motivated us with that, getting back to what we were doing this week.
Yeah. And be assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from, what's getting kind of familiar here, from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith unto them, ye have heard me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in your power, put in my own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's the order in which it was supposed to take place. And when he had spoken these things, while they were beheld him, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now, we understand what's going on. To me, it's obvious. After that commission, after he told them to go out there and preach, that, you know, repentance and remission, but these next verses, like 49 through 53, was what took place in Acts chapter 1. And there's a bunch of other stuff that was left out. But yeah, we'll read that later on.